Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Hey, send us an email. Let us know what you think. Our feedback email address is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. Well, the magazine The Advocate putting out its 2012 list of the gayest cities in the U.S. And guess what? Two of them are in Michigan. One you might expect, one that might surprise you. To talk about the list, I'm joined by The Advocate's editor-in-chief, Matthew Breen. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
So, for those who are not familiar with The Advocate, can you describe what the magazine is all about?
Sure. It's the longest continuing running LGBT publication, I think, in the world. We started in 1967, and between our magazine and website and mobile app and whatnot, we do news, commentary, politics, entertainment, you name it.
Now, when it comes to calculating the gayest cities in the U.S., that must be a complicated equation. How did you go about doing that?
Well, we're very well aware that there are census studies, places like the Williams Institute that do really good, hard-hitting scientific studies about where gay people live. And then there's a sort of like general understanding that people have that San Francisco, New York City, Los Angeles are very gay-friendly places. A lot of people already know that stuff. So our gay cities list, we take some rather unconventional criteria, and we look for a measure of gay friendliness in different places that you might not expect based on this criteria. And some of the criteria is sort of standard, like the number of LGBT elected officials in a city or whether there are transgender protections in a city. But then we do things like, you know, does the city have an LGBT bookstore or WNBA teams or a nude yoga class or Imperial Court chapters. That's sort of a drag Miss America type pageant. So those are not your standard measures of how gay popular or gay friendly a city is. But when we add up those points and we divide it by the population, you get a sense, a different kind of a sense of how gay a place is.
Now, when it comes to Michigan, there were two cities on the list. Ann Arbor came in sixth, and Grand Rapids, number 10, which may surprise many people since it's a conservative city in a conservative area of the state. How did Grand Rapids end up on the list?
Well, Grand Rapids scored points for an LGBT bookstore, transgender protections, and then one measure that we looked at were concerts by some lesbian popular bands, including The Gossip and The Clicks and The Veronicas. So, you know, knowing that you can find some good music in a city matters. And the population is relatively small, so it's like 193,000. So we're looking at a per capita gayness that a city like New York City with a huge population doesn't have.
Ann Arbor came in sixth, which from what I saw on the list would probably make it the gayest city almost in the entire Midwest. What makes Ann Arbor such a gay city?
There are a lot of lesbian bars or lesbian-specific hangouts in Ann Arbor. The fact that it's a university town makes it gay-friendly in lots of ways. And then there was just that amazing story about Chris Armstrong at U of M, the first out student body president who was the target of a smear campaign by Assistant Attorney General Andrew Shervell, which really made for an interesting story over the last year. And so we decided to raise a glass at Otbar when that kook got the boot.
Well, I'm talking to Matthew Breen. He is the editor-in-chief of the magazine The Advocate. Matthew, how would you say a city is impacted when there is a high percentage of gay people living in it?
Well, there has to be a general level of tolerance that comes with a sizable population, and so that can affect whether businesses are gay-friendly, in particular. And so that's one really great tangible benefit of having a sizable population. A benefit of something like this kind of listing, which I've seen in a few places like Knoxville, Tennessee, and Salt Lake City, Utah, is that because they're unexpected, Grand Rapids as well, because they're unexpected, people are talking about this. Like, they're talking about how gay-friendly is Grand Rapids. Is it truly a gay-friendly place or not? So that dialogue, I think, actually does some good on its own as well. And if, you know, the residents decide that it's not gay-friendly enough, they have the option to change that.
I guess it was surprising to see that Salt Lake City was number one. Yeah. Having been there, it's you know, the Mormon church is there. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a very family-friendly city. Are there a lot of gay people that live in Salt Lake City?
There are, and not because I grew up there that it landed on the top of the list, but that was actually just coincidental, and we didn't think about any cities when we were crafting our criteria before we did the sort of equation. But because there is a monolithic Mormon culture in Utah, and because it's a fairly sizable place, the community, the LGBT community there is really tightly knit. They really band together. They really have a real strong sense of community there. I think that's one reaction that you can have in a place where there's a monolithic culture. The reaction to that can be a really tight-knit community as well.
Do you think America's urban areas and even small cities are at this point basically tolerant of the gay lifestyle and same-sex relationships?
Well, it would be nice to think that everywhere was, but it's not the case. I mean, there's still all kinds of legislation that bubbles up every year in state legislatures, even in city councils, that tries to marginalize and discriminate against people. I think it's baffling in this day and age that we still have to deal with these retrograde ideas that some people are not as good as other people, or that there's anything inherently flawed about being LGBT. I think you'll see this change over the next couple generations, but at the moment we're still saddled with some really some troglodytes, some real cave people who are elected officials who sit on city councils and in state legislatures.
I know one of the big issues for the gay community in the U.S. is pushing for a gay marriage. In your mind, is this something that will eventually happen for sure in the U.S., or is it likely just something that will never exist here?
I can't see how it won't happen. I see a general bend toward equality for all Americans in this sense. There are countries throughout Europe and Latin America who have enacted marriage equality. And the United States is a place where freedom and equality are ideals that we aspire to. I don't think it's going to take, you know, too much longer before we come to our collective senses about the idea that everyone deserves the same rights and privileges from the government.
President Bush made it clear he was not a fan and was not supportive of gay marriage. How would you describe President Obama's approach to gay rights in the U.S.?
President Obama has said he's evolving on the issue of marriage equality. And, of course, we're impatient. We want him to evolve faster. There have been a lot of strides made during the time that he's been in office, and it's like the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the Justice Department's refusal to support areas of the Defense of Marriage Act. I'm hoping that you'll see the Defense of Marriage Act crumble in the next few years. But what we don't have yet is Obama saying that he is entirely in favor of marriage equality. That would be an enormous step toward equality for all Americans. The idea that some people are not kept out of rights that other people are party to, that's fundamental. It would be amazing if Obama would evolve a little faster.
Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of the magazine The Advocate. Matthew, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for the conversation.